bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The old contract for postal workers expired an hour ago, but negotiations on a new contract continue in Washington. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal mediator W.J. Ussery announced that negotiators have, in his words, turned back the clock and are still working on a new contract. Union leaders have not called a strike. They said they would not. And there is no report yet of any wildcat strikes that had been threatened in some major cities. The chief snag continues to be management's demand to have the power to lay off workers when it thinks it necessary. More news coming up.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, everybody. Phil Rizzuto here with a few words for sport fans everywhere. Nightly, Monday through Friday, I bring you Phil Rizzuto on sports over most of these stations. I wrap up the daily events with an action review that includes interviews with players, coaches, and managers, and always give you a preview of what's to come. I also have comments on all phases of the sports world that I know will interest you. Hope you'll listen right here Monday through Friday nights for Phil Rizzuto on sports on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
President Ford intends to veto a controversial bill on Monday. It would continue the present controls on the price of domestic crude oil. Mr. Ford already has proposed a plan to lift controls, and he will explain that proposal to Republican congressional leaders Monday morning at a White House breakfast. The president will also ask the leaders to try to get the House to go along with the Senate in lifting a ban on shipments of military aid to Turkey. The New York Daily News reports that the United States and Israel have reached agreement on terms of a new interim peace settlement to offer Egypt. The news quotes what it calls informed sources in Jerusalem. American Ambassador to Egypt, Herman Iltz, is reported in Cairo briefing Egyptian President Sadat on the proposal. UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim says the Security Council will be meeting this week to discuss renewing the mandate for the UN peacekeeping force in the Sinai. Egypt already has said it does not want to renew it unless progress is made in peace talks with Israel. But Waldheim says that Egypt has not closed the door on that issue. The Israeli cabinet met into the early morning hours Monday to discuss the issue. It announced that it will fight any change in the authority of the peacekeeping force. The latest on the space mission in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sinoff tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sinoff Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sinoff. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sinoff.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff tablets.
Exactly. Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
The cosmonauts on board Soviet spaceship Soyuz are just hours away from returning to Earth. The landing will be televised live, the first time ever in Soviet space history. And you can see it starting at 6:51 Eastern Daylight Time. Correspondent Steve Young has more on the story from Moscow.
Cosmonauts Alexei Leonov and Valery Kubasov are scheduled to fire their retro rocket and separate their descent craft from the rest of Soyuz shortly after 6 a.m. Monday, New York time. That will slow their speed, allowing gravity to take over. About 25 minutes later, the main parachute will start slowing their descent when the cosmonauts are about 6 miles above the Soviet Central Asian desert. 15 minutes after that, if all goes well, the Soyuz spacecraft should make its landing about 200 miles north of the Baikonur site from where Leonov and Kubasov were launched last Tuesday. The cosmonauts are then scheduled to undergo medical exams and debriefing. And on Wednesday, they'll be reunited with their wives at Star City, not far from here. Steve Young, CBS News, Moscow.
The Apollo astronauts remain in Earth orbit until Thursday, when they're scheduled to splash down in the Pacific. Three Romanian dancers and a violinist who defected from their folk group on tour in Western Europe will be allowed to stay in Britain. That announcement last night from the British Home Office. It said the four can stay and work in Britain for a year and then reapply to stay longer if they wish. The three dancers say they already have jobs as cleaners. One of them told reporters, "It does not matter what I do, any dirty job, it does not matter. I'm free, and that's what counts. In Romania, there is no justice, and there never has been under the communist regime." The Coast Guard says an oil slick up to 5 miles wide at some points is moving toward the Florida Keys and is now less than a mile off Key West. It does not appear to be threatening any beaches at the moment. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
XI, AM and FM. The weather outlook, fair and rather warm through Tuesday, with highs in the upper 70s and lows in the mid-50s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 63 degrees. Taking a look at sports briefly, in Major League Baseball activity, in the American League, first of all, Chicago took 2 from Milwaukee, 7-2 and 10-5. New York over Minnesota twice, 14-2 and 5-4. Detroit beat Kansas City 7-3, Oakland over Baltimore 5-2. Cleveland defeated California 10-4. Texas beat Boston 10-5. In the National League, Atlanta over Montreal 5-4 in the first game. Montreal won the second 6-5. San Francisco and Pittsburgh divided a pair. St. Louis took 2 from San Diego. Los Angeles beat Chicago. Philadelphia over Cincinnati. And New York beat Houston.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. We have another story designed to hit you right between the ears. Murder, of course, is a common, everyday subject of the mystery story. But we promise you that this one murder has an entirely new kind of definition. You've heard the expression, being of two minds. Well, Joe Vincent, our hero, or should I say our victim, is very definitely a man who could be described that way. The only trouble is, one of those minds seems to be bent on homicide.
Pete, is he still alive?
I can't tell you, Doc.
Mr. Vincent, can you hear me?
Doc, do you see what's written on that mirror? In soap?
No, it's kind of blurred, Pete.
It's just one word. It says, death.
Our mystery drama, My Own Murderer, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made.
In some Americans today, the spirit of that Indian prayer is reborn. But now everyone must get involved in the struggle against pollution and litter. Write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
What is the past? What is the present? Sometimes our minds can no longer tell the difference. Sometimes the strains and stresses of our lives stop us from sorting out the differences between then and now. You're about to meet a man who has this problem, and others. But in order to meet him, we have to take you away from what we hope are your comfortable surroundings and bring you to the mean streets of Skid Row, to the shabbiest part of a large metropolitan city. Because that's where you'll find Mr. Joseph Vincent.
I woke up. There was nothing unusual about waking up. I've been doing it all my life. But lately, waking up has been the beginning of a nightmare, not the end. And the moment I opened my eyes, I knew this morning was going to be one of those days when I'd have to face that terrible emptiness again, that frightening jump between the real and the unreal. Because when the cold light of morning oozed through the dirty panes of the window in front of me, when I finally made sense out of the strange angles and unfamiliar shapes that formed my surroundings, I realized that I was in a room I'd never seen before. It was a hotel room, probably. They were always hotel rooms, foul-smelling boxes. But I was Joseph Vincent. And I didn't belong in a flea-bag flophouse of a hotel. I didn't belong in this cell of misery. I was Joseph Vincent, and I was rich. Hello?
Hey, you check out. Time is 12 o'clock.
What was that?
This is a hotel, buddy, not a furnished room. You got 20 minutes to get out of there, or I'll have to charge you another $9.
$9? Is that the rate?
That's right. I told you that when you checked in.
When? When was that? What time last night?
I don't remember.
Was I drunk?
Look, mister.
All right, just tell me one more thing. What's the name of this hotel?
It's the Hotel Margolis.
All right, thanks. And don't worry, I'm leaving. I managed to get myself out of the bed. I was still dressed. My pants and shirt were eroded by wrinkles, but my jacket was lying untouched across a moldy armchair. I reached for the wallet and checked my money. It was all there. Then I saw something else. It was a water glass and a small bottle. I picked it up and looked at the label. There was a skull and crossbones on it. My flesh turned cold. Small label blurred in front of my eyes. It was poison, no doubt of it. I put the bottle down with disgust. I struggled into my jacket. Went to the mirror to check out the condition of my face. And there it was once more, the same familiar sight, the letters written in soap across the face of the mirror. And the message was signed as it always was, but this time the words read, "Next time you die."
Come in, Mr. Vincent.
Thank you, Doctor.
Please sit down.
Thank you.
Why don't we begin with the obvious? Tell me how you got my name.
Well, you may not be flattered, Doctor, but I found it in a directory, a medical directory in the library.
Well, at least you know something about my credentials. So, why not tell me about yourself?
Well, you know my name, Joseph Vincent. I'm in Wall Street. Or I was. I've been sort of retired for a while.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Mr. Vincent?
56.
It's young for retirement. Was it voluntary, reasons of health?
Yes, it was voluntary. I made quite a bit of money in the market. I didn't see any real reason to keep to a 9-to-5 schedule, especially after my wife died.
When was that?
It was about a year ago. It was an automobile accident. I was in the same crash, but I came out with just a concussion. Eleanor was killed outright.
Was she driving?
No, I was. Anyway, that was when I decided to quit. The work didn't seem so interesting to me anymore, and then there was this other thing.
What other thing?
This thing that started to happen to me.
What was that exactly?
Dr. Abrams, someone is trying to kill me.
Are you really certain of that, Mr. Vincent?
Yes. There have been 3 attempts. The last one took place 2 days ago. That's when I decided it was time for me to see somebody.
A psychiatrist and not the police?
Yes.
May I ask why?
Well, the person who is trying to kill me is myself.
Mr. Vincent, are you telling me that you have suicidal impulses?
No. No, Doctor, I don't have anything of the kind. Not me. Look, I get these spells, Doctor. They started right after the accident. I keep waking up in filthy hotel rooms.
Is that what happens during these spells?
Yes. I suppose maybe you could call it amnesia, blackouts. I've had 6 since the accident, each one a little longer than the one before. They come on suddenly without any warning. And then I just find myself in one of these cheap rooms downtown around 10th Avenue or something. Sometimes I wake up at home in my own bed.
Do you live alone?
No, I have a housekeeper, Mrs. McLeavy. She's been with me, for more than 20 years. She's been worried sick about these disappearances of mine.
Tell me about the last time.
Well, I woke up in a place called the Hotel Margolis. I must have been drinking. I had a hangover. I could still taste the wine I'd drunk, a cheap Muscatel. There wasn't any wine bottle in the room, but there was something else. A bottle of poison.
Poison?
Yes. And there was one more thing.
What was that?
A note written on the mirror in soap.
What did it say?
It said, "Next time you die." And it was signed Joe Vincelli.
Joe Vincelli? Who's that?
It wasn't the first time Vincelli had threatened me. 2 before he left notes for me on the mirror. This time he tried to poison me. Next time is it.
Mr. Vincent, who is Joe Vincelli?
I told you. It's me.
Yes.
Look, I know my name is Joseph Vincent, but it wasn't always. I came to America 34 years ago, and my name was Giuseppe Verdi Vincelli. My father was a great opera lover. Everybody called me Joe when I arrived, and I had a lot of different jobs. I was a construction worker. I was a barber, a salesman for an ice cream company. Then a friend of mine got me interested in the stock market. I went to school at night for about 4 years, and then I got a job down on the street. I don't know, maybe I was smart or maybe I was lucky, but...
And why do you think Joe Vincelli is after you?
I don't know, Doctor. That's why I'm here. so you can explain it to me. Why this other man that's in me, in my own body, wants me dead.
Dr. Abrams?
Yes, Penny?
I just wanted to remind you that Mr. Vincent will be here at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember all too well.
You don't sound very happy about it.
I'm not sure that this case belongs to my office.
You've dealt with suicidal types before.
Yes, yes, I've dealt with them, and it's not difficult to find a suicide motive in Vincent's case. Guilt over the death of his wife.
Because of the auto accident?
An auto that Vincent was driving. Subconsciously, he blames himself for her death and is seeking punishment. The only punishment that fits the crime. So he's resurrected the cruder, more violent personality of Joe Vincelli to do the job for him. And I'm afraid he might succeed.
How awful.
This other personality knows that Vincent is trying to defend himself, so he's all the more cunning, all the more difficult to reach.
Maybe you need an exorcist, Doctor.
Maybe I need a detective.
What?
It may take months to get the answers out of Vincent's unconscious, and by that time...
But what could a detective do?
He could follow the man, find out where he goes during these blackouts, what he does.
Do you think that would help?
If I knew the answers to those questions, I might be able to save his life.
Dr. Abrams, don't you remember what my husband Pete does for a living?
Your husband?
He's a cop.
I don't understand what you intend to do, Dr. Abrams.
Well, I know it's unorthodox, Mr. Vincent, but I think the problem is critical enough to warrant some unusual tactics. That's why I wanted you to meet Mr. O'Connor.
Just call me Pete, Mr. Vincent.
Pete is my nurse's husband. At the moment, he's on leave from the police force.
I've got a minor disability. A junkie stabbed me in the side last month. But don't worry, I can get around just fine. Well, what do you intend to do? Arrest Joe Vincelli?
You're not too far wrong. What we need to do, Mr. Vincent, is find out exactly where your friend Joe Vincelli takes you when you have these spells of amnesia. Now, I could continue to probe your unconscious for that answer, and I will, but at the same time, I'd like to try a direct approach to the problem.
Yeah. I see that it does make sense. I've often thought I needed to be watched.
If we can catch you in the personality of Joe Vincelli, Mr. Vincent, maybe we can make Joe listen to reason and leave you alone.
But the least we can do is stop him from killing you.
Just wanted to say good night, Dr. Abrams.
Good night, Penny. See you tomorrow.
You know, if you wanted me to work on those files tonight, I could do that.
No, 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 Penny. You run along home. The files can wait for another time.
Well, tonight isn't a bad time at all, since I won't have a husband to cook for.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot. Pete's starting this surveillance tonight.
He calls it a stakeout. I'll get that. Dr. Abrams' office.
Penny, it's Pete.
Hi. We were just talking about you.
Ah, great. That's why my ears are burning. Say nothing to the rest of my face.
You sound funny. Is anything wrong?
Yeah, I'm wrong. This layoff of mine must have turned me stale.
Pete, what's happened?
I loused up the job. Well,
what's the matter?
Doctor, I think you'd better talk to my husband.
Hello, Pete. What's the trouble?
He outfoxed me, Dr. Abrams. The first night, I let Vincent get away. He took this razor and got away from me.
Razor? What are you talking about?
I spoke to his housekeeper, Mrs. McCleavy. She caught him packing up this straight razor and leaving the house. And if we find Vincent with his throat cut, it'll be my fault.
Well, the question is, who got away? Was it Joseph Vincent, the wealthy, cultured, retired stockbroker? Or was it tough Joe Vincelli, a man capable of violence, perhaps capable of murder? And would both personalities finally come into conflict and end both their lives? We'll learn a great deal more when I return shortly with Act Two.
When you say ba-likewiser, things, like choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. The Budweiser ingredients listed proudly right there on the Budweiser label. There are less expensive ingredients, but you won't find them in Budweiser. No way. There's a lot more that goes into the brewing of Budweiser than just ingredients. But it's what comes out that counts most, and that's the Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking? There is no other love. There's only something less. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Joseph Vincent has disappeared, and in the offices of Dr. William Abrams, a gloomy trio has gathered to determine their next step. None of them certain that Joseph Vincent hasn't already known the vengeance of his alter ego, Joe Vincelli.
I don't know how I could have been so stupid. The boys in the station house hear about this. They won't let me back.
Stop blaming yourself, Pete.
No, it's my fault, really. I should have warned you that something like this could happen.
Yeah, but the very first night of my stakeout. Well, that's something I never figured.
It's something that Joseph Vincent's alter ego figured, however.
Pete, how did it happen exactly?
Well, I was sitting outside in my car, and I saw Mr. Vincent leaving his house. So I started the engine. Well, that's when he waved to me and came over.
Well, what did he say?
He just said he was walking around the corner to the newspaper store.
Did he look the same, sound the same?
Exactly. I couldn't see anything wrong with the guy at all. He fooled me, Penny. He wasn't Joseph Vincent at all. It was this other guy, Joe Vincelli.
Well, what did you do when he didn't return?
I went looking for him, of course, but he was nowhere in sight. So I figured he hopped a bus or a taxi.
His car was still out in front.
That's right. Well, anyway, that's when I decided to go into the house and talk to Mrs. McCleavy.
His housekeeper?
Right.
And she told you about the razor?
Yeah. She said she passed Vincent's bedroom and saw him putting the straight razor into a case and slipping it into his coat pocket.
But why?
I think I'd like to ask Mrs. McCleavy that myself.
I feel just terrible about this, Doctor. Just awful. I just don't understand it, Dr. Abrams. I've known the man for 20 years, and I've never seen him act so strange.
When was the first time you knew about Mr. Vincent's problem?
I never did know, the first couple of times. He didn't say a word, but then he couldn't hide the truth anymore. Once he was gone for a whole week, just walked out of the house without a word, and didn't come back for a week. His clothes were a terrible mess. They were in such bad shape, he told me to throw them away.
And did you?
Yes.
Did you notice anything unusual about the clothes? I mean, any strange markings, perhaps something in the pockets?
Well, there was one thing.
What was it?
Well, I'm a little bit ashamed to say.
No, please, Mrs. McGleavy, it might be important.
Well, it was a calendar. One of those.
Those?
Oh, you know, with one of those women on it, without a stitch.
Oh, yes, I see. Do you still have it?
No, I threw it away, along with his dirty clothes.
But do you have the clothes he wore the last time he disappeared?
Oh, yeah, I got them all ready for you. Just back from the dry cleaners.
The dry cleaners?
Of course. I sent them out just as soon as he came back.
Ah, Mrs. McLeavy, we wanted those clothes just the way they were.
Well, I can't imagine why you'd want dirty clothes, Doctor.
Well, never mind. I'll take them just the way they are.
I'll get them for you.
Oh, Mrs. McLeavy.
Yeah?
One more thing. Did Mr. Vincent always use a straight razor?
Why, no, he never did.
What?
He used an electric razor all the time.
Hey, Joe! For the love of Pete, if it ain't Joe Vincelli.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Where you been for the last couple of weeks? I give up on you already.
Well, I've been around.
Around, huh? Tell me the truth. You were hitting the bottle again, huh?
Oh, I don't know, Mike. Maybe a little.
You're sure a funny guy, Joe. 5 times you come to work for me, and 5 times you walk out without a goodbye. If I didn't like you so much, I'd throw you out on your ear, eh? You're a good barber, Joe. You give people their money's worth.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
A man like you, a real artist with the shears and the razor. Joe, listen to me. Why don't you try and cut it out?
Ah,
the vino, I mean.
Yeah, I guess I should, Mike.
That stuff don't do no good. You ought to be working steady, saving money. No, no, for your old age.
Sure, I know, Mike.
What's the matter, Joe? You don't look so good.
Oh, well, it's my head. It hurts.
Ah, you see, that's what the vino gets you.
No, I haven't had a drink. It's just that my head hurts sometimes. Mike, you will take me back, won't you? Can I work for you again?
But for how long, Joe? 2 days, a week? With you, I'm never sure.
But I need the work, Mike. I don't know what I'd do with myself if I didn't work.
Okay, Joe, okay. I could never say no to a good barber. You got the job.
Thanks, Mike.
And listen, you bring your old razor, Joe, huh? Are you hock it, maybe?
No, I didn't hock it, Mike. I got it right here.
I wish you wouldn't look like that, Dr. Abrams.
I'm sorry, Penny. I can't help blaming myself for what's happened.
That's fine. I've got a husband who blames himself and a boss who blames himself.
Maybe it was wrong to handle it this way. Maybe we should call the police.
Pete is the police, and he really doesn't think you have grounds to involve them, Doctor.
That man is carrying a murderer around with him.
I suppose so. But I can't help wondering. Well, it all seems pretty obvious to me about where Mr. Vincent goes when he has these blackouts.
All right, where?
You know the old expression, chercher la femme?
Yes, I know. Find the woman.
Don't you think that's the most likely explanation?
Because of that girly calendar Mrs. McLeavy found?
Well, it does seem to indicate an interest in the opposite sex. The poor man's been widowed for over a year. Would it be surprising if he went out hunting for feminine company? That must be Pete.
Let him in, Penny.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Okay, I guess. I'm afraid I don't have much to report. I got the laboratory report on Vincent's clothing.
The suit Mrs. McLeavy had dry cleaned.
Yeah, that made it kind of tough. But there was one substance the dry cleaners didn't get out.
What was that?
Well, near as they can tell, Doc, it was powder. Face powder.
Face powder?
Are you sure, Pete?
Well, not much doubt about it. It was a kind of cheap brand, but that's what it was.
Well, what do you know? I was right. Cherchez la femme.
Nobody gives a shave like you, Joe. You really got the touch.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
It's worth it to be having you work here. Just so you can give me a shave.
Hey, Joe, you're serving guns, so you're back.
Oh, hi, Phil.
How are you, Joe? Where you been lately? I missed you, old buddy.
Oh, I've been away.
Last time I saw you, you were hitting that vino pretty hard. Oh, you're a bad boy, Joe. You know that gin and vino don't mix.
That's right. Hey, we played gin rummy together, didn't we?
Hey, how you like that? Doesn't even remember. Took 50 bucks off me and he can't remember a thing.
Hey, good for you, Joe. Teach these young punks a lesson.
Well, how about wear your gray shades, Joe?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not working anymore today.
You mean you're quitting so soon?
Yeah, Joe has got the headache.
Oh, that's too bad, Joe. Hey, listen, if you feel like relaxing, how about coming over to my place? My girl Anita is there. She'll fix us a little pasta or something, and maybe we could play a friendly game of gin.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, Joe, no. Maybe you better go home and lie down for a while.
Home?
Well, yeah, you got some place to stay, don't you?
Hey, come on, Joe. Give me a break. Let me try to win back some of that bread.
All right, Phil. I'll give you a chance. Just let me get my coat.
Hey, great. I'll wait for you outside.
Listen, Joe. You really think it's a good idea?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, you don't know that guy. What are you doing playing cards with a guy you don't even know?
I've got to do something, Mike. I can't just eat and sleep. A guy's got to do something.
Well, I just hope you know what you're doing.
Go on, Joe. Help yourself.
Boy, these cards are really lousy.
They'll look better after a little more vino, Joe.
Looks to me like you boys need a fresh bottle.
No more for me.
Don't you like the stuff, Joe?
Maybe I shouldn't drink anymore. My head feels like a tom-tom.
Hey, maybe it's the red stuff. Hey, Anita, how about breaking out that Chablis? How's that sound, Joe?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I gave you the eight of hearts.
Oh, that's nice of you, Joe. I'll take that there little eight of hearts and give you the two of diamonds.
Here you go, boys. Nice fresh bottle.
Two diamonds don't do me no good.
Drink up, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
How about picking another card, Joe?
Oh, didn't I just pick one?
You're getting a little stupid now, Joe.
Drink your vino, Joe. That'll make everything look better.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Have a drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's good. It's very good, Phil. This is very nice. Oh!
Be careful!
Joe! Hey, Joe!
Yeah, he's out like a light. Dead to the world.
Hey, come on. Give me a hand with him.
What are you going to do, Phil?
You know what I'm going to do, baby. I'm going to make sure that Mr. Vincelli is really dead to the world.
It would appear that Mike the Barber gave good advice to his friend Joe Vincelli. Too much vino obviously doesn't do him any good. In fact, too much vino seems to be threatening his life at the moment. Obviously, more than one person seems to want Mr. Vincent dead. Or is Phil's intended victim Joe Vincelli? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act 3.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The director of vocational rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the director of vocational rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Joseph Vincent has disappeared, and a man who used to call himself Joe Vincelli has taken over his body, returning to the trade he knew as a young man. But Joe Vincelli has encountered another young man who doesn't seem to like barbers and is about to do something about it. At the same time, in the office of a psychiatrist named Dr. Abrams, a worried trio ponders the problem.
I can tell you one thing. Vincent didn't take a taxi when he walked around that corner. I checked it out with the Hack Bureau. No cabbie in the vicinity picked up a guy that fits his description that night.
Therefore, he either walked to where he was going or he took a bus. Mm. Let's face it, we're at a dead end.
Don't use that word.
You really think the guy's a menace to his own life, Doctor?
Huh? Well, he hasn't been my patient long enough for me to answer that, but based on his past history, I'd say the chances are pretty good.
I'll get it. Dr. Abrams' office. Who? Yes, he's here. Pete, this call is for you.
Oh.
A man named Halsey.
Oh, yeah. Sam Halsey from the lab. Hello, Sam? Yeah. Uh-huh. How many did you say? Well, that's peculiar, huh? Yeah, sure. Well, thanks a lot, Sam. I really appreciate this. So long.
What was that all about?
Well, the laboratory isn't still working on those clothes of Vincent, are they?
No, not the suit that was dry cleaned, but I found another suit in Vincent's closet. I kind of, borrowed it to see if we would turn up the same kind of face powder.
Did you?
No. But Sam says they found something else. They found hairs on the suit. Small particles of hair.
Mm-hmm. Blonde or brunette?
Well, that's the crazy part. They found both. And some redhead, too.
Wow. Did you say he wasn't a Romeo?
Now, wait a minute. If they were small particles, of course, I just remembered what Vincent told me about his early life in this country.
What did he say?
He had several jobs here before he got into the stock market, and one of them was barber.
Barber?
Hey, that would explain it all right. The small bits of hair.
And that calendar he brought home that time. Where's a better place to pick up a girly calendar than a barber shop?
And that face powder on his clothes.
Well, that's it. He goes to a barber shop.
I'd say he probably works there.
And that would explain why he packed that straight razor of his. It's probably the same razor he used when he started shaving guys in America.
But why in the world does he want to work in a barber shop? He's a rich man.
Ah, but he's not a rich man when Joe Vincelli takes over his body. He's the poor immigrant all over again, doing the same work he did then.
So all we've got to do is find out which barber shop he works in.
He's sure to be working under his old name, Vincelli.
But there must be 1,000 barber shops in this city. We can't call all the barbers.
Well, if we're lucky, we won't have to call them all. We'll find the one where Mr. Vincelli is working.
Hey, come on, Joe.
Ah, you can make it, old buddy. Just a few steps more.
Hey, 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 what is this? You bringing that wino back here?
What's the matter? Don't this hotel want customers?
Not like that one.
He won't be in any trouble. He'll just sleep it off.
And we'll just make sure he's got enough money to pay the room rent.
You don't have to worry about my pal.
Yeah, maybe you better pay for it in advance.
Okay, sure, friend. Anything you say. As long as I can make sure my boy Joe is all right.
Hello? Apex Barbers?
Vincelli.
Do you have a barber named...
V-I-N-C-E-L-L-I.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is this the Continental Barbershop?
Hello, Freddy's Barbershop?
You have a barber...
You got a barber named Lincoln Joe Barber. Vincelli working there.
Can you tell me if you have a barber named Joe Vincelli there?
What's that? Hey, Doc, Penny, I got him.
Never mind.
Yeah, I understand. But can you tell me where he went?
Isn't he there?
No, he took off this afternoon with a friend.
Does he know where the friend lives?
He said he doesn't know. Hello? Listen, are you the owner? Yeah, it's very important that we find Mr. Vincelli. Well, but you must have some idea.
Pete, tell him we'll come down there and talk to him in person.
Now, look, if Joe is in some kind of trouble...
No, it's not the kind of trouble you might think, Mr. D'Angelo.
You said you were a cop, right?
Yes, I'm a police officer, but this gentleman here is a doctor. Joe Vincent's doctor.
Who's Joe Vincent? The guy I know is named Vincelli.
Yeah, well, they're one and the same.
We think that your friend may be in danger, Mr. D'Angelo. He has definite suicidal tendencies.
Joe does.
That's right. And unless we can locate him, he may never work for you or anyone else again.
Well, like I told you, there's a fella comes in here. Joe played cards with him a couple of times. All I know is his first name, Phil.
Well, what does he do for a living?
I don't know. I think he's a bookie. I told Joe not to get mixed up with him.
And you don't know where he lives?
No, I don't know. Wait a minute.
Huh?
He has got a girlfriend in the neighborhood named Anita French. Maybe she can tell you where he is. That's it, Joe. That's all it's going to take. Just turn on the heater and let some nice gas into the room. Sure, Joe. You just lie back and take it easy. Now, just one more thing. Gotta get the soap. Here it is. Ah, let's see. What do we want to write today, Joe? Hey, I know. Just one word today, Joe, okay? Just one word.
Yeah? What do you want?
Miss French?
That's right.
Police, Miss French.
Police? What did I do?
Oh, nothing, miss. We just want to ask you a few questions. Well, maybe we come in?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, looks like there's been a card game here, huh?
Is that why you're here, on a gambling bust? Well, forget it. It was just a friendly game.
No, that's not why we're here. We came to ask you about a friend of yours named Phil.
And his friend, Joseph. I mean, Joe Vincelli.
Was Mr. Vincelli here today, miss?
Yeah, he was. So what?
Where's Mr. Vincelli now?
How should I know? The game broke up and they left.
Miss French, this may be hard to explain, but this man you know as Joe Vincelli isn't Joe Vincelli. He has another personality, another identity.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's not important that you understand. What is important is that Joe Vincelli is in danger of taking his own life.
What?
We've got to find this guy before he hurts himself. Now, can you understand that much?
Hey, Pete, wait a minute. Look at this.
Well, what is it, Doc?
A matchbook.
The Hotel Margolis. Hey, that's right across the street.
That's where Vincent went the last time. Maybe he's going back again.
Mr. Vincent! Joe! Are you in there?
He might be asleep. Or worse.
Come on, you. Open the door.
All right.
Oh,
Oh,
good Lord, it's gas.
Turn that heater off.
Is the window open?
Hey, Doc. Look at that mirror.
Yeah, he's written all over it with soap.
Hey, is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
All right, get him out in the hall, quick.
Give me a hand.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on.
Are you sure he's breathing?
Yeah, he's okay. Mr. Vincelli.
I'd sure like to know what's going on.
Just shut up. Come on.
Dr. Abrams. Is that you?
Yeah. Yes, it's Dr. Abrams.
Oh.
Do you know who you are?
Yes, I'm Joseph Vincent.
Wow. Oh. That's something, anyway.
Hey, Doc. Do you see what it says on the mirror?
Yes. Just one word. Death.
Yeah. And it's signed Joe Vincelli.
What? What happened? Did I do it again? Did I try to kill myself again?
It looks that way, Mr. Vincent.
Only this time you almost succeeded. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Pete?
Mr. Vincent, let me see your hands.
My hands?
Look at them. They're filthy.
Well, so what?
Well, it means he hasn't washed them.
No, I guess I didn't.
There's no soap smell on him either. Not a trace.
What are you getting at, Pete?
The note on the mirror was written with a cake of soap, but there's no trace of soap on Mr. Vincent's hands. He didn't write on that mirror, Doc. We were wrong about Joe Vincelli.
No, Pete. I'm sure there's a Vincelli personality.
But maybe Vincelli isn't a killer. Maybe the killer's got an identity all his own.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Nita said you called something about my buddy Joe.
Yeah, that's right. I'm afraid Joe won't be around to shave you no more, Phil.
No kidding. Disappeared again?
Yeah. But look, I don't want to lose a good customer. You sit down. I show you I can give you as good a shave.
Okay, Mike. I want to take a chance. Poor Joe, he really liked his vino too much.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Here, let me put this towel around you.
Hey, is he gonna be okay? You know?
I'm afraid it's a kind of serious fear. Hey, this lather is too hot for you?
No, it's fine. Well, go on, Mike, tell me the worst.
I'll tell you the worst, Phil.
Hey! Joe, what are you doing here?
Hand me that razor, Mike. I'll take over.
Yeah, sure, Joe. And I'll be in the back if you need me.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter, Phil?
Huh?
You always said I gave the best shave in town.
Listen, Joe, you maybe better not. A man in your condition...
Don't move. Razor is a very delicate instrument, you know that?
Joe... Take it easy, huh?
One wrong move here, you could kill a man in 2 seconds.
Joe, I...
Feel how sharp that blade is against your throat. Oh, I keep my razor sharp, Phil.
Get that thing away from me!
Wouldn't move if I were you.
What is this?
You know what it is, Phil. I'm not Joe Vincelli anymore. I'm Joseph Vincent now. And Joseph Vincent doesn't remember how to handle a razor anymore.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Not as crazy as you thought I was. I thought it was Joe Vincelli who wanted me dead. But it was you. You, Phil, all along. Why? What for?
I swear I never meant to hurt you.
No, just to kill me. Hmm? Now, if you don't tell me why...
Hey, stop! Look, I'm bleeding!
Only a small cut, Phil, in another few seconds.
Somebody help me!
You can help yourself, Phil. Tell me who you are.
I'm Phil McLeavy.
McLeavy?
I'm your housekeeper's son.
Mrs. McLeavy's son? I don't believe you. She wouldn't do anything like this.
She doesn't know anything about it. It was all my idea.
What idea?
Stop it. Hey, stop it, will you? Look at the blood. I...
Talk or I'll kill you.
Okay. When she told me about those spells you had, I figured it out. She showed me a calendar you brought home once. It had the address of Mike's barbershop, so so I came here.
Why did you follow me?
I thought if you're trying to kill yourself, nobody would ever think it was murder.
Why? What was in it for you?
Well, I knew you were going to leave my mother a lot of money. You didn't have anybody else. And when she got it, I'd get mine, too.
You would kill her next.
Oh, no, I swear it.
You know something, Phil? Some people should get their throats cut.
I know, don't, no!
Mr. Vincent, hold it right there.
Help me! Help me! He just tried to kill me!
Stop blubbering, pal. You're okay. You just had a very close shave.
They say that barbershop shaves are becoming a lost art. And if that's the kind of shave they're handing out these days, I can well understand. Of course, we hope the barbers in our audience aren't offended. Personally, we think there's only one thing more relaxing than an afternoon in a barber's chair. And that's the time spent listening to the Radio Mystery Theater. I'll be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Perhaps you'll remember the story about the man in the barbershop who was getting a fine straight razor shave while a very pretty blonde lady manicured his nails. He said to her, "You're the prettiest girl I've seen in years. How about a date tonight?" She replied, "Why don't you ask my husband? He's shaving you." What? No laugh? Well, that's not the purpose of the Radio Mystery Theater anyway. We're here to hand out chills and thrills, and we hope you'll be back for more. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Robert Dryden, Catherine Byers, Suzanne Grossman, Ian Martin, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
They said it was a frame-up. They accused us of collusion to try and keep them from having a D-Day meeting. Did you do it, Doc?
Lucy, I swear I had nothing to do with it. Oh, come on. There's nothing to get so upset about.
Only there is. Because they asked one more question. And I got an answer which I refused to accept.
All right. What was the question?
You ask it. Go ahead. Ask the machine why there will be no reunion.
Okay.
Oh. Please, God. The answer won't be the same as it was the last time.
All right, let's see. Oh, no. The tape says, because one of them will be dead.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
voice, the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. There appears to be progress in continuing postal talks in Washington, and though the strike deadline passed 2 hours ago, post office workers have been told to sit tight, go to work. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The chief federal mediator has stopped the clock for negotiators, so talks aimed at averting a nationwide postal strike can continue without a work stoppage. CBS News correspondent Jed Duval reports from the talks.
Sources close to the postal negotiations have told CBS News that there has been a shift on the single most important issue, layoffs. Management has backed away from its insistence that the existing no-layoff clause be taken out of a new contract. This change is contingent on union acceptance of the complete management offer. That full package was presented several hours before the midnight deadline. The hour has passed, but the talking goes on in stops and starts. Earlier, postal workers had been told to report to work, and while it's apparent no final agreement has been reached, it could be near since a significant obstacle has been removed. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a moment.
Give your heart to your love, but give your code to contact, the sooner the better.
Summertime is a rotten time to catch a cold. You miss so much. Then remember, 6 or 3 or 1, and take contact. To keep medication working in your system up to 12 continuous hours against sneezing, runny nose, and congestion, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. Just 1. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. 6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
Give your cold to contact. Give your cold.
Contact, number 1 cold medicine in the whole world.
A Coast Guard officer describes as unbelievable an oil slick of between 60 and 100 miles long and up to 15 miles wide, bobbing in the Atlantic Ocean off the lower Florida Keys. The guess is some 40 to 60,000 gallons of unrefined crude oil was dumped by a tanker in an area called the Big Pine Shoals. Authorities say they probably will never know which ship dumped the thick, sticky crude oil. The Coast Guard Southern District's Maritime Environment Division chief, Lieutenant Commander George Davis, told CBS News about the mobilization of forces to combat the shoreline pollution threat.
What we're doing is we're staging equipment into the Key West area. We're lining up personnel to conduct cleanup operations should the spill come ashore in Key West or any of the other islands up the line.
Lieutenant Commander George Davis of the Coast Guard. The Soyuz cosmonauts are awake and working at this hour, preparing for their return to Earth. Soviet ground controllers are coordinating the final checkout of hardware in preparation for retrofire. In just about 4 hours, the cosmonauts will move from the Soyuz orbital module into the descent module, separate, and fire braking rockets to start their return to Earth. They're scheduled to soft land about 200 miles from the point in Soviet Eastern Asia from which they were launched last week. And for the first time, viewers around the world will be treated to live TV coverage of a Soviet spacecraft's return to Earth. For the Apollo, which will remain in orbit until Thursday, biomedical and crystal growth experiments dominate the day's activities. The Israeli cabinet has decided to fight against any change in the basic authority of the emergency force separating Israeli and Egyptian forces in the Sinai Desert. The position statement came out of a cabinet meeting that ran into the early morning hours. Egypt is refusing to extend the mandate of the UN peacekeeping force. Israel proposed extending its mandate 6 months beyond its Thursday expiration. The U.S. and Israel are reported to have reached agreement on the terms of a new interim troop withdrawal arrangement in the Sinai. The New York Daily News in Monday editions quotes informed sources in Jerusalem as saying that position has been taken to Cairo by U.S. Ambassador to Egypt, Herman Eilts. More in a moment. This CBS News correspondent brought a penchant for politics to the demanding world of news broadcasting.
It may have been a consumer meeting, but it seemed more like the reconvening of the old greenback dollar party. farmers...
CBS newswoman Sylvia Chase, who was born in Minnesota, got her B.A. in English from UCLA. After that, she was active in California politics, managing several campaigns. She began her news career with KNX Radio in Los Angeles, where she wrote, produced, and directed documentaries on women's stories, and where she won an award for her work on consumer problems. Since joining CBS News in 1971, Sylvia has reported on presidential campaigns and anchored women's programs, as well as appearing often on regular CBS News broadcasts. Sylvia can be heard along with other CBS News men and women anchoring The American Woman, a six-day-a-week series which explores the changing roles of women today. Listen for Sylvia Chase reporting here on the CBS Radio Network. This just in, CBS News correspondent Jed Duval now reports from Washington that according to informed sources, an agreement has been reached in the post office talks and an announcement is imminent. The British Home Office late Sunday night decided to grant political asylum to three Romanian dancers and a violinist who defected while on a tour of Western Europe. The three men, all in their 20s, will be permitted to stay and work in Britain for 12 months. Mike Stanley, CBS News.